This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us now, Rhonde Barber, all-time, one of the all-time greats in Tampa Bay Bucks history, soon to be Hall of Famer. There's so many platitudes, I won't even go into them. Just look them up. You can find him. Rhonde, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. How you doing, my brother?
Can we rename this segment Tiki and Rhonde? I know Tiki Tierney and Rhonde.
Oh, that's such a cliche, man. It's like, I know. Tiki and Rhonde. What would you rather say? Okay. It'd been more interesting if you would have been the worst cliche. You said, can we rename this segment the Barbershop?
Well, let's just rename it Rhonde and Tiki segment right now.
No, it'll never be Rhonde and Tiki. It'll always be Tiki.
Hear your name first.
It'll always be because my name is shorter, dude. It's two syllables, but just whatever. People like think that it's Tiki, so they say it first. How you doing, man? How you hanging in?
I'm hanging in. How are you hanging in? Going at it alone. I love that I only get calls from you guys when you're going at it alone. So
you know, whatever the time would I get to talk to you? I like to talk to you. I don't want Brandon interrupting me when I'm having a conversation with my brother. I want to chat with you. Well, first thing I got to ask you though, because I know you did. You watch the match too?
I watched every second of that.
Okay,
yes.
So now I also know that you, not too soon prior, had played golf with Tom Brady. Was yes. He that bad when you played with him, or was he just bad because of the pressure of being on TV?
No, I think pressure of being on TV with two of the all-time greatest golfers. You know, Tiger gets up on the first tee and just absolutely stripes it. And look, how would you react? I know how I would react if I'm playing with Tiger and Phil, and I'm sure they've played many friendly matches in the past.
Yeah, but not on TV.
Live TV, the highest rated show of the spring, some going into summer so far. I think he was nervous. Dude, I played with him probably 11 days prior, exactly. Mm-hmm. 11 days prior, I know. And no, he was not that bad. He did have he has a tendency to spray his drive a little bit. Yeah. But he kept it in play, and he had a great short game when I played against him. So I was a little shocked that the nerves got it. But I mean, look, so many of the pros and celebrities that were watching kind of nailed the sentiment. Like, we've never seen Tom Brady fail. this is the first time anybody got a chance to see him struggle at anything.
Yeah. But you know, it's interesting though, but you also saw a side of Tom Brady that you don't always see. And I mean, if you've met him, you know this, like he's cool, but he's like nerdy, but he's cool. It's like, it's weird. Like he's got this awesome like persona about him. And I wonder if bringing that out, because he's now in Tampa and no longer in New England with the Patriot way where you don't say anything, is that going to be good for him, or could it do his process, you know, how he prepares? You know what I mean?
I don't think anything will break Tom off of his process. And when I was with him, you know, 2 weeks ago, it was the first time that I had spent any significant amount of time with him. And mm-hmm. I was really struck by his demeanor. I mean, he is a really cool cat. He has, you know, no qualms about, you know, dropping some cuss words here and there. He's very relaxed, but he's very focused on what he's doing. I mean, personality-wise, you bring up a point. I mean, he was never going to, you know, come across as outgoing and funny and dry humor that Peyton Manning is. Peyton is the best. I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, when you hear him, you know, throw quips at people, I mean, it's like genius. If you watch the match, the thing he said about not wearing the same outfit as Tiger because it would make everybody think that he was a fan of Georgia Bulldogs was priceless. I mean, did he think of that beforehand, or did he just, you know, that off the cuff? Because that's not off the cuff. I mean, he's the greatest of all time at that. But
yeah,
I think there's some sense that, you know, he won't be more relaxed here, but he'll get more exposure here just because he's going to attempt to do something and win his seventh Super Bowl, as he says here, and not focus on golf so much, obviously. That's gonna be more attention on him. Every story this offseason since he signed, you know, in the middle of March, and going forward until you know they either finish the season or not, is going to be about Tom Brady and his impact on the Bucs, just because his entire career was in one spot. He won six Super Bowls.
Yeah, but it should be, because he's Tom Brady. I mean, think about it. Yeah. Like, it's not like you're talking about some also-ran. This is a dude who's been amazing at his job. By the way, we're talking to my twin brother, Rondé Barber, here on Tiki and Tierney. But he's been amazing at his job and it's like he's the envy of teams and organizations. They want that guy, right? If you're going to have the face of your, this is who you want, right? He's the example. And so we crave to know him, and we've never really got a chance to know him. Now it feels like we're getting a chance to know him, and it's not disappointing, I guess is the way to put it. So the question is, what's going to be his impact on the locker room? You know, that locker room in Tampa, it's young. It's, you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, we got Julian Edelman, this sage veteran who's going to, you know, save us in critical moments. Or, I mean, Rob Gronkowski's there, but it's really young in Tampa. What's the dynamic like?
Well, I'll answer both of those questions, but go back real quick to Tom showcasing his personality. I think it's important, if you're looking for that, looking more for Tom's personality, think about his head coach. I mean, his head coach is a colorful guy, personality that the NFL
has new head
ever
coach.
Seen.
His now head coach.
Bruce Arians is as colorful a personality as there is in the NFL. He calls it how he sees it. He shoots it straight. He's not afraid to make fun of himself or whatnot. And we saw some of that with Tom in the golf. He wasn't scared to make fun of himself. He split his pants. He's like, yeah, you know, I had an accident. I had to go put on a rain pant. I think that side of him will come out more. But if you're talking about his impact, look, he just from observing him from afar, I've never did a New England Patriots game when I was working on TV. And I only played him twice, I think, maybe two or three times. And look, he strives for excellence, and he will make, there's no question he'll make the guys around him better. I think we talked about this right after he signed in free agency, but he's going to bring accountability to the locker room just because of his credentials. For no other fact that when you're Ali Marpet or you're Donovan Smith, his offensive lineman, two of his offensive linemen, when they get in the huddle, He's gonna command, you know, the respect that's needed to drive them to excellence. Yeah. Now, I think that's important in any team to have that guy, whoever it is, offensive or defensive guy, in a locker room that makes everybody else reach for their level of excellence. You couldn't ask for a better guy. I mean, you said his track record speaks for himself, and you know, from a physical standpoint, I mean, if that's your question, if he's 43 years old, can physical standpoint, can he do that still? Yes. He looks the part. He looks great.
Have you met Gronk yet? Has he been down there?
I have not met Gronk yet. I mean, where everybody's still inside, man. Nobody's doing much. Man, I know.
Yeah. Florida, well, I mean, what do you mean? You know, they're not still inside. They're over at Berkeley Prep practicing at your daughter's school.
in the sense that, you know, this time of year, normally they'd be at OTAs or phase probably two or three. I'm not even sure what phase they'd be in right now. But I'd get a chance to go over there and sit at practice and, you know, watch them work out on the field.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I haven't seen it. So everybody's still in. Obviously, they're getting together as a group, which, you know, somebody snuck into the field with a telephoto lens and took pictures of him working with his wideouts. But, you know, he is going to be great. You mentioned Julian Edelman. I mean, this guy's got Chris Godwin at 100 catch receiver. He's got Mike Evans, 100 catch receiver. The number of weapons at tight end is ridiculous right now with Gronk alongside Cam Brayton, O.J. Howard, who are both still there. I think they have a pretty decent offensive line. There's no reason they shouldn't succeed.
The reason you wouldn't is because the NFC South is stacked, right? I mean, Drew Brees is no shrinking violet over here. He's still a stud. Matt Ryan, if they get their defense right, now that Raheem Morris, your boy, is the defensive coordinator, maybe they get the defensive side of the ball right. And Teddy Bridgewater is Teddy Bridgewater. Now, he's not a world beater, Teddy B, but they love him. And Christian McCaffrey's one of the best players in football, period. You know, forget the position. Forget the fact that he's a white running back. He's a stud. So, I mean, the division is probably the toughest one in football. That could lead to not success, which is something he didn't have in New England. There was no competition in the AFC East.
Yeah, theoretically, no competition, right? They still had to play the games and win, but it was kind of ridiculous.
You know what I mean?
He won nine, division titles in a row, or eight division titles in a row, whatever it was. Yeah, it'll be a significantly more difficult path in the NFC South. Hey, look, it still starts with the Saints. Drew Brees is still, running a team that is essentially unchanged. I mean, they got some different pieces. But he's also got the best wide receiver in football in New Orleans. And I know that Atlanta had a down year. I kind of predicted early in the year last year that Atlanta would have a down year. But, Matt Ryan is Matt Ryan. Well, because of their defense, because of some deficiencies on the defensive side of the ball. Definitely rushing the passer, which they haven't done well in, 2 or 3 years. They have Grady Jarrett, who is a world beater, as an inside rush guy. But other than that, they don't have – the guys, Tack McKinley really hasn't, really didn't pan out. Vic Beasley was hit or miss after his, 15 or 16 sack year they had a couple years ago. And their secondary was bad. They were bad. When they made a switch, when Atlanta made a switch midseason and moved Raheem from wide receivers coach over to co-defensive coordinator with Jeff Ulbrich, you saw an immediate change, and so the process is obviously better on that side of the ball, but they still need talent, and I don't think that their young guys were up to the task last year. So I predicted that they would go down, and they did. They couldn't score enough points to keep up with a bad defense. Very similar to Tampa. Tampa had a team that put up a lot of points, but their defense was young on the back end, and they couldn't stay in football games.
Yeah. By the way, what do you think happens with Cam? Just speaking of a former NFC South. I mean, he's still sitting there. He's likely going to have to wait maybe till someone gets hurt, but who the hell knows when that's going to be? How do you read Cam right now?
Yeah, I think the injuries are probably most prevalent in people's minds. I mean, last year was the first year that Cam just didn't play football. I mean, and he was beat up. And he was beat up the year before, to be honest with you. And I think if you're a GM or a coach that's looking at a quarterback, you don't want to spend the type of money to bring in a hurt Cam Newton if he's not going to be your starting quarterback. And you're going to spend a lot of money to make him a backup. I don't know that Cam is going to take a $1 million contract like Jameis did to be the backup in New Orleans. I don't see him doing that.
No. He won an MVP. There's no reason he should.
Exactly. So then you're asking yourself how much is Cam willing to take a role on a team? And I think you're probably right. I think a lot of experts and analysts are right about this. It'll be a team that comes into need at some point, whether it's training camp or early in the football season that signs him. But I mean, for a guy to have his credentials and still be on the street, there's something there. And I'm not close with Cam. I'm not close with that situation, so I don't know. Yeah. But it
it's
is
just odd, man,
that he's not out there.
I mean, it's almost like, dude, Cam Newton's not going to play football this year. Now, that's asinine to say that, but I mean, it could happen.
Yeah, at this point, he's not on a football team, and he's clearly one of the better, one of the accomplished quarterbacks.
More accomplished,
that's
who knows if he's better. Yeah, who knows if he's better right now? He's accomplished a lot. Rondé Barber joining us here, Tiki and Tierney. I don't know if you saw Baker Mayfield's comments, Rondé. Baker is going to take a toned down role this offseason as he prepares with Kevin Stefanski, who's run oriented obviously from his Minnesota days, and Alex Van Pelt, who's a really good offensive coordinator. But I started my show with this, and I think it might be dangerous for Baker to be toned down. Baker is Baker because Baker's Baker, right? Doesn't he need that chip on his shoulder? I'm a little bit worried about Baker being toned down.
Well, Baker, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to sit down with him. I'm pretty sure you've had him on your show. He is easily.
Well, yeah, I did the Browns game. I did the Browns game last year.
That's right. You did the Browns game, yeah. But he is easily one of the most confident human beings I've ever had the chance to meet.
That's true.
And you know
that
what I mean by confident.
Yes.
And you look him in the eye and he exudes it. You know, he exudes, you know, the intangible leadership qualities that you want at the position. So tone down, I mean, I think you might want to temper your the way you use the term tone down. His tone down still might be, you know,
turned up,
you know, 900 miles an hour instead of 1,000. But I mean, look, that team and Baker, because I did them I did the Browns in the preseason when they played the Bucks, and you know, their expectations were ridiculous. There were so many people that wanted to anoint them. I mean, they had better Super Bowl odds to start the season last year, you know, than some of the best teams in any conference. And you're just like, wait a minute. I mean, still a team that won their first game in 2 years, you know, at the end of the previous season. Where's the hype coming from? But you understand it because of, you know, that toned up version of Baker Mayfield. I mean, he's literally one of the most exciting players I've seen. He's got a swagger about him that exudes into his teammates. I think the tone downness is probably coming from his new head coach.
Yep, speculate. Yeah, that's what I speculate.
Let's just focus on football. You know, the hype machine. I mean, he's in every commercial last year. NFL commercial.
I know, it kind of got annoying. Look, if he was winning, you'd be like, good for you, Baker. After a while, you're like, dude, you throw 21 interceptions this year. Calm it down, man. Last question for you, Rodney, because we're running up against some time here. Are you confident that the NFL is going to start on time? I listened to the vice president, Troy Vincent, who obviously we both know, we played against him. Is talking about, we're going to start on time. We're going to have fans. It's going to, you know, until we're told otherwise, we're full speed ahead. Are you confident that that's going to happen with the National Football League? What are you hearing from internal sources? I know you have people close that you're close with that know the deal, so to speak.
Well, I think most people in facilities don't know yet either. They can't get an answer from the league, but the league is constantly talking about staying on track, and their message is season's going to start on time, so the playoffs start on time, so the Super Bowl February 7th starts on time. Until something changes, until they hear something else, I think that they're just going to stick to that message. But I mean, of course, you know, with this COVID, it depends almost explicitly on, you know, governors opening up states. You know, if not, where are you going to play football? I mean, it's as simple as that to me. I mean, I know that they released a statement maybe today that maybe next week teams can start going into their facilities. But as it is now, they're still virtual. I mean, can you imagine if a season had to start on time right now without having done anything together in the offseason?
No, you'd be screwed. Look, we already see a depreciation of cohesion at the beginning of NFL seasons as it is. Look, I'm gonna hold you. You're not going anywhere. I'm gonna keep you back for another segment. So hang on for a second.
Another segment of the Ronde Antiqui show. Yeah,
the barbershop. I just thought of that one. Oh, that was funny, right?
Back on the phone.
Hang on to the Hero Tiki 5 minute break. CBS Sports
Radio. Twin brother Ronde Barber. Ronde, let me
come
back
on the other side because I got to ask you, Ronde,
the
about
Sky Judge. Was
and
not
is there going to be a Super
kind
Bowl in Tampa? And if there is, are there going to be fans?
How necessary is the eighth umpire, so to speak? We're calling it the Sky Judge, but it's really the booth umpire. How necessary in the NFL? I think overwhelmingly fans want it. We have clarity at home. Why should they not have it at the stadium, the referee himself?
If they're not going to do it, I don't think they should do it personally.
Why?
I like having plays called on the field. I mean, it's an imperfect science, officiating. It just always is. There's no reason to overly judiciate, you know, plays that are not called. I mean, I think last year doing, you know, having pass interference replay really shown a light on, you know, some of the lack of objectivity in play calling. You know, everything.
You mean penalty calling? Yeah,
penalty calling. It's a subjective thing, and I think it should be subjective. Look,
what if it's egregious, though? I mean, sometimes these things are like game changing, egregious. They kind of have to do this to an extent, don't they?
I mean, look, if you want to be right all the time, and I think as a society and as a sports watching society, we want everything to be right. But at the end of the day, if we just let it go, you just let it go. The fact that we make a big, there'll be people that, you know, that whine and bitch about it. But at the end of the day, if you miss a call and the game goes on, you eventually just let it go.
Yeah.
So it adds to the, you know, Monday morning, you know, roundtable discussion when you do let it go. But trying to be right all the time, I thought brought up even more issues.
Well,
you know, could it help? Sure, it could help. But I don't know that it's the right answer.
Well, it feels like all the coaches, and I know for a fact, all the coaches want this. Like 32 out of 30 voted to explore a way to make this thing happen. And the interim experiment was the pass interference rule, which obviously didn't have the technological support to work. It was happening too fast. Like you couldn't figure out, should I challenge this one? And if not, you know, is it egregious enough to overturn? It became subjective. On subjectivity, like subjectivity on top of subjectivity does not equal objectivity. You know what I mean? So it became pointless. But I feel like people want it. I know that fans want it because you hate to see your team lose. And I know that like refs want it because they don't want to be the topic of conversation come Monday morning.
Do you watch, Premier League soccer, right?
And I do.
So last year they implemented VAR, video assistant referee in every single game, not just
and
it's hated. It's hated. You'd have a beautiful goal, you know, one finger offsides, goal taken away, and it absolutely changed games. Now, was the call right? Yeah, but what it gained, to me, it lost in the excitement of the moment. You lose that when you start legislating from outside of the white lines. To me,
yeah, I hear you.
There's
a beauty that happens. In a game,
there's a beauty to being right, but there's a beauty to being wrong as well. And I think without giving ourselves this option, you know, you learn to deal. Hey, man, ref made a bad call, you know, or you know what, the ref probably missed that one. Oh well, next play, right?
Yeah.
And you could talk to all these coaches. I know you said however many, 31 of the 32, all of them will tell you one play does not decide a football game. I know we always say the cliche, it's one play. In reality, one play does not decide a football game. It might be the most important play, and it happened at the end of a game like it did in the playoffs 2 years ago, and that's a big deal. But if that play happens in the second quarter, what? Yeah, that was a bad call in the second quarter.
Yeah, it's a series of 71 play games, right? That's what it comes down to ultimately. Right. Well, you just mentioned and you're talking specifically the English Premier League, and it looks like they voted to come back June 17, at least to get restarted a little bit. But the Bundesliga is already playing. They're doing it without fans. They're pumping in some crowd noise. I did a segment at the end of last hour how this is like a huge opportunity for some of these European soccer leagues and NASCAR as well to like steal sports fandoms. You think that that's going to actually happen? Because we're craved. Like, too many millions of people watch the match, because I know that many people don't care about golf that much, right? Too many millions of people watch the match. You're craved for like entertainment and sports. You think that's going to shift a little bit because we're not seeing some of these other ones?
Well, a couple of things there. That many people watch the match because they made it a great format. I don't know how many people watched the match match one in 2018.
Yeah.
The fact that you threw in Tom Brady and Peyton Manning with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, four of the most recognizable names in the sport, it drew people. And people are craving football right now. At this point, you talk radio, TV is, you know, usually inundated with football talk. And now we got to watch them play golf. But to your point, specifically to your point about, you know, soccer and NASCAR, you know, NASCAR ratings are falling, you know, plummeting. You know, people aren't going to races.
Previously had been falling.
You know, I was never a huge fan of the Bundesliga. I watch it if it's on, but I never went and sought it out. But yes, you can make inroads. There's so much talent in, you know, European soccer that if you actually sit down and watch it because you have nothing else to do, if you're craving for live sports, you're going to see some amazing things. Borussia Dortmund has been on, I think, three times already when I've watched. And they have this kid, Haaland, who is amazing. The dude scores a goal every time he plays. If you didn't know that, you'll be amazed. You're like, wait a minute, what's this kid's goal-scoring record? But you wouldn't normally watch it. So, they can steal some market share, I think. I mean, that being said, when football comes back, football's king, man.
Football is king.
It's going to take back over.
That's a very good point.
Any inroads that they make is going to be temporary.
Well, at least they can make some.
Here's a better question for you to explore. Me and my buddies, I play golf this morning with my buddies, and they're like, you know, the Masters is in November, right?
Yep.
The Masters goes off in November. I mean, it'll still be a big event. It's the Masters. But that puts it right smack in the middle of football season when it starts to get really interesting.
That's
right.
Do
you think their numbers are going to be the same as they were?
The Masters?
If it's the second Sunday in April like it normally is, I don't think it will be.
It depends. And if you're watching CBS, because CBS isn't doing any 1 o'clock games that day. They're waiting to the afternoon because Jim Nance is not going to be, you know, doing football that weekend. He's going to be doing the Masters. So, but you got a point. Talking to Rondé Barber here, my twin brother here on Tiki and Tierney. We talked about Peyton, or not Peyton. We talked about Tom. We talked about Baker. Let me ask you about Dak Prescott. Now, he's got a new coaching staff with Mike McCarthy, but Kellen Moore is still there, their offensive coordinator. Dak wants to get paid, you know, a lot. And I'm wondering if he's worth it. And if there's a chance that this franchise tag that I think he's ultimately going to have to play on is a good thing or a bad thing for him. How are you viewing Dak right now?
I don't ever begrudge people trying to get what they think they deserve.
Yeah.
Can I see Dak outside of Dallas next year? Yeah. Yeah. If he has to play on a franchise tag, you know, is he going to pull the Kirk Cousins route? Is he going to? Because, I mean, think about what Kirk did. Kirk Cousins.
By the way, that's why I love Kirk. That's what he, I mean, he showed a set that nobody has, right?
Absolutely.
I'm betting on myself.
He's bet on himself.
Over and over. Oh, how you like them? How you like that? Yeah. Whatever he said. Yeah. I feel him, man.
Yes. Anyway, so many of these young quarterbacks hit a payday. They do. They hit paydays. I mean, they $30 million per year contracts. It's an obscene amount of money, but it's what the market says they deserve. Now, if your team, Dallas Cowboys, aren't willing to offer you that, then, man, you got to bet on yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be done.
And by the way, he has a new head coach, and Mike McCarthy was talking about Dak. And tell me what you take away from this.
He's involved in a business situation, and I have full confidence that he'll be ready to go. And, you know, there has been communication. So, you know, this is the way these business situations go sometimes, and you respect that and have all the confidence it'll work out. Mm,
that's Mike McCarthy. Have all the confidence it'll work out. But what if it doesn't?
Yes.
I mean, he didn't draft him. He didn't want him. You know what I mean?
So what you're saying is that Dak's going to play on the franchise tag and then he's going to go sign Aaron Rodgers next offseason? Is that what you're trying to tell me right now?
I mean, whatever. I mean, if you're going to throw that on the table and say it's a possibility when it happens, I'll say you heard it here first from Rondé Barber. Yeah. Look, we're running up against a break here, but I got to ask you this. Tampa Bay is actually hosting the Super Bowl this year.
Yes.
Are you confident it's going to be fan-filled?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I am. You know, I was on the phone earlier with it's a good day to talk about Super Bowl 55 because it's 255 days away, and
ooh,
our number 55, Derek Brooks, is the co-chair of the host committee. So,
wow, look at that.
Look at me throwing plugs. Rob Higgins, the executive director of the sports commission, some love on that one.
And if subtract the 55 and replace it with a zero, you get 2-0. That's 20.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. I am confident. I mean, I've talked to some coaches, friends around the league, and they do believe that fans will be in the stadium when the season starts. I mean, it's 32 billionaires, man. They're going to find a way to make this work and make it right until it doesn't. But if you ask me, I think we'll be back. Yeah. Hopefully it's safe to be back by then, because, you know, you mentioned a second ago Bundesliga is back. I find it almost disconcerting and weird to watch a professional sport without any fans in the stands.
I agree.
You know, it kind of takes away from the atmosphere. It completely takes away the home field advantage. I mean, isn't that what betters set their odds on the atmosphere inside of the stadium?
But that's lessened over the years. NASCAR is the only one that doesn't need it because the cars themselves tell the story. You don't need the fans to tell the story in NASCAR.
Very true. Very true.
Brother, I love you. Appreciate you hanging on for two segments. Good luck. Best of the family. Everybody stay safe. And hopefully I'll see you one of these days soon.
Absolutely. Likewise. Thanks for having me on the Rondé and Tiki show, brother.
Love the barbershop, man. It's the barbershop. Go play some golf. Hit them straight.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.